Welcome to the African Passport on Channel Africa, the African perspective. You can find us on DSTV Audio Bouquet, Channel 802, and also on the internet live streaming on www.channelafrica.co.za. Let us connect on Facebook at Channel Africa and on Twitter at Channel Africa One or at the African Pass. You can also find episodes of the show on www.theafricanpassportshow.com. I'm Godfrey, Mr. G. Madanere. You can also download the Channel Africa app on Google Play Store for Android phones and via Apple Store for iOS phones. The African Passport Show is a program that seeks to publicize the vision and aspirations of Agenda 2063 as outlined by the African Union. Here, we visualize the Africa we want. Godfrey, Mr. G, on Channel Africa, the African perspective.
The Africa we want is an equal global partner and a powerhouse when compared to the economies of other continents. For a very long time, Africa has been perceived to be a sleeping giant, full of potential, but failing to turn that potential into tangible results. This is quite sad because this is a continent pregnant of talented individuals, full of the required expertise to take us from a position of want to a place of abundance. The resources are not in short supply. The African Passport will keep searching for African gems on the continent or its diaspora so that they can shine. Today, I'm hosting such a gem from Sierra Leone, Dr. Yakama Menti Jones. Welcome to the show.
Thank you and welcome. Thank you, listeners. I'm happy to be here.
I know you have a lot of hats that you wear, Dr. Yakama, but what is your role as a Director of Research and Delivery in the Ministry of Finance in Sierra Leone?
Well, I'd like to start by giving a brief background, because the Department of Research and Delivery in the Ministry of Finance is quite a new division. Before the current government took office, the Ministry of Finance was the Ministry of Finance and Economic Development. But the president divided the ministry into two and created two different ministries, the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of Planning and Economic Development. So there was a division called Economic Policy and Research Unit. But over the years, the operations of the division had been skewed more towards economic policy management instead of research. So the balance was off. So the incoming minister then decided that given how there have been inconsistencies in policies and a lot of research and data needs to inform the policy making space, he created the Research and Delivery Division, of which I currently head. So in my role as Director of Research and Delivery, I lead collaborative efforts to generate the evidence needed to support decision making. And our work is divided across several pillars, because we have the piece that focuses purely on economic research. So we do conduct research on topical macro and microeconomic issues that affect the economy. But then we also give input into policy development. And policy development just doesn't happen in the Ministry of Finance alone. There are other line ministries and the Ministry of Planning that do policy development. So my division kind of supports with technical assistance and also research to make input into that policy development space. And then, of course, over the years, Sierra Leone has been implementing a lot of policies, programs, and also lots of interventions. So some of these interventions need to be analyzed to see what impact they've made, whether they're right on track or maybe they need to be redesigned. So my division also supports work in impact analysis and producing relevant reports to produce strategic documents for government. And of course, an important piece of our work is supporting economic forecasting, because you know how forecasts inform planning and also helps us get a sense of how well the economy will do. do and what sort of reforms our governments would need to implement to help us remain on track. So we work with the Macrofiscal Policy Division to produce some of these forecasts and also with external partners such as the International Monetary Fund. And another piece of my work is coordination. And coordination is really key because a lot of times governments work in silos, different ministries, departments, and agencies are doing work by themselves. And when you don't think or apply a systems view to what is going on, so you have conversations in different corners, but then you don't have a sense of how the impact of all these conversations collectively affects the objectives. So my division does a lot of coordination, and I, as the Human Capital Project focal person, this is also critical to my work because I support coordination for the delivery of the President's Human Capital Development Portfolio. As you know, for Sierra Leone, Human Capital Development is the government flagship. And also we are aligned with the World Bank's Human Capital Project and also the ECOWAS Regional Strategy for Human Capital Development. And the last pillar, I'll say, of my work is the service delivery arm. So we know the importance and the value add of service delivery and efficiency it brings. So my division oversees the implementation of the Ministry of Finance's strategic plan. So we have a medium-term strategic plan. And every year, we work with every single division in the ministry to develop their annual work plans. And these annual work plans are broken down into manageable milestones with plan start dates, plan end dates, and responsible persons. And we track the delivery of this using an online dashboard. And they update this dashboard as monthly. And my division does quarterly analysis to see what's delivery is on track or what's off track and see how we can inform the ministry's management and leadership structures on what's needed to problem solve or unblock some of the challenges that are affecting delivery. And this delivery piece is also tied up with the minister's performance management. So ministers in Sierra Leone do sign performance contracts with the president. So the reporting that my division coordinates through the ministry's strategic plan and delivery dashboard also fits into the reporting for the minister's performance management for the office of the president. So at the high level, this is what I do at the Ministry of Finance, and given existing realities, especially that the country and the world is faced with a pandemic, so a lot of more high level data high frequency data needs to be collected. So we're doing a lot of work with the IMF to see how we can develop high frequency economic indicators and also how we can scale up collaborative research. So over the course of the COVID response, Sierra Leone developed the Quick Action Economic Response Program to mitigate the impact of COVID on households and businesses. We conducted research with the International Growth IGR, MIT, the Director of Science, Technology and Innovation to inform the COVID response, especially around lockdowns and restriction of movement of people. We're doing a lot of work with the IMF around public expenditure reviews to see how we can generate reports and evidence to see how governments can improve on public efficiency in how we spend across key social programs. We're also doing a benefits incidence analysis for the health and education sectors because, as you know, for now, education is the government's flagship. We have the free quality school education program, and we are allocating not less than 20% of the budget to that. So that's huge. So we need to see how efficient we are spending in that area. We're also looking at the wage bill because a lot of people are employed in the public service in Sierra Leone, and we need to see how we keep the wage bill at sustainable levels. And we have a lot of publications out there, which I do want to encourage readers to engage with through the Ministry of Finance website, the impact of COVID on businesses, on tourism. We're doing a lot of work around gender budgeting and skills development, and also digital financial inclusion. So I don't do all of this work by myself. I have a team. I work with my deputy assistant directors, my economists, and all the colleagues across the Ministry of Finance and our partners in the economic management space, especially the Bank of Sierra Leone, Statistics Sierra Leone, the Ministry of Planning and Economic Development, the Office of the Economic and Financial Advisor, and the Office of the President, and the National Revenue Authority. So, in summary, that's my work as Director of Research and Delivery.
That's quite some work. Let me put it that way.
The African Passport on Channel Africa, inspired by Agenda 2063, comes to you every Thursday from 8:05 to 9:00 a.m. Central African Time, and repeat shows every Sunday at 9:00 a.m. Join us as we design the Africa we want with me, your host, Godfrey, Mr. G. Maranire, here on Channel Africa, the African perspective.
The African Passport on Channel Africa, the African perspective.
Research by nature is meant to come up with new information and to a certain extent bring about change. Do you then find these various ministries receptive of the new data coming from your division? Because very often our people are stuck in their ways.
Yes. So one of the things around policy change, like I said, the establishment of the division came from the incoming minister at the time. So from the start, there was the political will. And when we're talking about driving change in Africa, often it needs to start with having the right political will and then having the engagement and inclusive strategies in engaging all the different partners. So if you recall, I did mention that a core piece of my division's work is coordination and economic discussions. So when we produce this research, it's not just for internal consumption. From the planning stage, we design our research to be as inclusive as possible. We have our technical committees, and we also have a lot of work that we do in terms of research uptake. So we don't just produce bulky reports. We have policy briefs, we have presentations, we have roundtables to which we invite different partners, academia, civil society representatives, non-state actors, students. So we engage with the research and see what pathways, the media, so what pathways are there to uptake a lot of the recommendations and what changes that are needed, not only in central of government, but also in the different spaces, in the private sector, in academia, and also the civil society space, to make sure that some of these recommendations are actionable and we can see the impacts that we want to see down the line. Because remember, impact takes a while, so it is consistently in driving the change. And one of the key things we also do is capacity building, not just for colleagues in the Ministry of Finance or colleagues in the economic management space, but we also do capacity building for young graduates from economics department at the University of Sierra Leone, so that's the change that we want to see does not erase when we leave these positions. We are creating the next generation of change makers. So of course, our research work is with a full view. We're intentional about how we can make sure that research is being uptake across governments and also creating a channel for more researchers that would make their way to the civil service to continue in this positive way.
For those who are just joining us here on the African Passport today, I'm hosting Dr. Yakama Menti-Jones, who is the Director of Research and Delivery in the Ministry of Finance in Sierra Leone.
The African Passport on Channel Africa, inspired by Agenda 2063, comes to you every Thursday from 8:05 to 9:00 a.m. Central African Time, and repeat shows every Sunday at 9:00 a.m. Join us as we design the Africa we want with me, your host, Godfrey, Mr. G. Maranire, here on Channel Africa, the African perspective.
The African Passport, inspired by Agenda 2063.
For those who are just joining us today, I'm hosting Dr. Yakama Menti-Jones, Director of Research and Delivery in the Ministry of Finance in Sierra Leone. Why is a lack of public service delivery an issue affecting most African countries?
Well, I often like to say, because we still survive, you know, a lot of us are alive, it's not a total lack. I think it is efficiency challenges in public service delivery in across most African countries. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on the issues, because we all know what the issues are across our countries. We're still battling with access to basic goods and services, electricity, water supply, health services, and education. I think I want to particularly focus on how we can change this narrative, or some of the things that need to be done to make to move towards a better trajectory. And I always like to start with the political will, because it's the center of government. That's where the strategic direction is being provided. And often it comes in the form of political manifestos that give input into national development plans, from which different nine ministries develop their strategic plans and then roll out their programs, policies, and projects. Then you start implementation. And that implementation needs to be performance managed, because that's where all the shortfalls happen, all the leakages in resources, all the waste of time. Because resources in this case is not just financial resources, but also human resources, because you don't want the case where people turn up for the workday 8 hours and half of the time they just spend it chatting or watching YouTube videos using government internet. So performance management across the scale, from the lower cadres up to the presidency, the ministers, is really important to improve public service delivery. Because one of the things I also want to stress is the role of the private sector. Because we always say the private sector is a partner in development. But how intentional are our government being, and also how intentional are the private sector, is the private sector being in pursuing action-orientated public-private dialogue? Because we really need to understand that government alone cannot foot all the bills. Private sector has a key role to play in partnering with and also bringing the resources and expertise to complement government efforts. Because we really need to see how we can improve on financing some of these innovative financing models, how we can also protect our environment. It's a lot. So the how is what the conversation should be focused on. And I think listeners would agree with me that it's not always talking about the problems. It's how we're going to address these problems going forward in the most efficient way, so that we can eradicate poverty on our planet, on our continent. So if every single citizen has a change of mindset, a change of mindset towards my responsibility is to making sure that my continent, my country succeeds, that my leaders succeed, so that all of us as a collective can benefit. I think that is what we need as a continent to improve public service delivery, because there's power in the collective. So we need a critical mass of change agents aligned with this vision, with this work ethic and this approach, to get us to where we want to get to.
Stay in touch. Send us your comments on Facebook, Channel Africa, and also on Twitter at Channel Africa 1 or at The African Pass. The African Passport with Mr. G.
For those who are just joining us here on The African Passport today, I'm hosting Dr. Yakama Menti-Jones, who is the Director of Research and Delivery in the Ministry of Finance in Sierra Leone. Some analysts and political commentators argue that a lack of service delivery, or the fact that we have limited service delivery in most African countries, is not necessarily because we don't have systems in place, but because of social ills such as corruption. How do you respond to that?
Integrity starts with the individual. It's not the computers in the office that undertake or corrupt activities. It's the individuals. So it is the people that need to have that mindset, the integrity. And when I say integrity, sometimes I always often like to start with accountability to self. So when you wake up in the morning and you say you're going to work, what's the intention? What value add to yourself as an individual would it bring if you jump out of bed, say 6 a.m., have your breakfast, sit through traffic and get to the workplace, and you spend half of your time just chatting, watching Facebook, and not doing your productive work? That's corruption in itself. That's you wasting government time. So that's you not even being accountable to yourself. So I think the change needs to start with the individuals, and then it's the individuals that make up the system. So it's not talking about corruption in abstract. It's about bringing the corruption conversation to us, the citizens. Because if you are taking money that should be spent on providing healthcare for women, and then you get ill, or don't you think you have relatives that might need to access some of those same health facilities? But if you in that space think you're in a bubble and you're far removed from the system, then you comfortably engage in corrupt activities. But if you have a sense of integrity and you're accountable for every single thing, not only money, even the time you spend in your government offices, that is where the change will happen. But yes, if you notice, in Sierra Leone, we have been making progress in addressing public corruption in public spaces. If you follow our rankings, we've been our rankings on the MCC Corruption and Transparency International Indices. So it is an actual active fight that's ongoing. But I think I want us to move away from just limiting it as country performance, but us and individuals being intentional about holding ourselves accountable in every space we find ourselves. Because leadership is not about the title. It is leading in every space in which you find yourself, in the home, in the church, in your office, in the school, even pupils not cheating in exams. That form of leadership and integrity and being accountable and fighting corruption. So it is us, the citizens, that need to change this narrative, and then we can see how it goes for our countries and the entire continent.
The African Passport is a stage where we showcase African talent and influencers with the capacity to help build a prosperous continent and an equal global partner. We profile sons and daughters of Africa, both living on the continent and the diaspora. Their inspiring life stories, emotional opinions, and pan-African views positively contribute towards shaping the Africa we want for our children and future generations.
Godfrey, Mr. G, on Channel Africa, the African perspective.
Earlier on, Dr. Yakama, I mentioned that you wear many hats.
Yes.
Among other things, you sometimes work with the girl child and women. How can we involve the girl child and empower women when it comes to African development?
Oh, I always love this question. Because imagine you have in your house, you have two buckets. You have a blue bucket that has just 2 cups of rice in it. And then you have another bucket that has 5 cups of rice in it. And then you decide to put the bucket with 5 cups of rice away and just keep using the 2 cups of rice. Does it make common sense, in your opinion?
Obviously, it doesn't.
Yes, so that is what I always say. You need women and girls make up more than almost half of the world's population. And even in our individual countries, sometimes we are even more than the men. So how can you be continue to underutilize your most common assets? It just doesn't make common sense. And the thing is, over the years, since the Beijing Declaration, we've been talking about gender inequality and bringing more women and empowering women and bringing more women into the workforce. But we're still having this conversation. So I think people are not being really intentional about the value add that women and girls bring into African development. So that's why I'm so elated in recent years when the conversation has just moved from being some form of activism, but showing the economic value add that women bring. Because sometimes there are certain things that the only way in which societies understand is in terms of money. They say money makes the world go round. So if we bring more, we invest more in women and girls, the addition to our global GDP on the continent for profitability in companies will definitely increase. So I want every listener to know that and start looking at it from that point of view. Because sometimes when you say, oh, I'm talking on behalf of women and girls, they say, oh, that's an activist. It's not a bad thing, but it goes beyond the activism. It goes towards our collective good and getting the resources that we need to transform our continent and our world. And I say that how we need to do this is approaching our investments in women and girls with a systems approach according to the life stages. So let me give an example. It's girls that become women, but then it's sometimes a chicken and egg situation. It's women that are pregnant before they deliver the girls, right? So we need to see how we can start investing holistically, say in pregnant women, to ensure that they have healthy and safe pregnancies and deliver healthy babies. So having the right education in place, the right health systems in place, the right nutrition systems in place, the right support systems in place, so that woman will be able to have a delivery in a health facility that is well equipped and also deliver a healthy baby. And that woman is also educated enough or has the support systems to make sure that that woman is able to care for that baby. When that baby gets to infancy, that we have the education system and health systems in place to increase the potential of that child to make it to the age of 5. So early childhood development, nutrition systems to address stunting, how we can get that child through primary education, especially the early child, to expand on not only enrollment, but also completion and transition rate. How can we get that child in secondary school to make sure that child, that girl child, completes secondary school and not to drop out due to teenage pregnancy or early child marriage? How we can equip that child if they are not cut out from mainstream education to provide them with technical and vocational education skills or entrepreneurship skills? How can we spend or invest in comprehensive safety of these women and girls? And when I talk about comprehensive safety, it's not just against rape or sexual or gender-based violence, radical inclusion. Because if you recall, for a long time in children, pregnant girls were banned from attending school, but we lifted that ban, and a lot of countries are doing that too. So how can we bring that radical inclusion in making sure that persons with disabilities are not excluded from the learning process? How can we make sure that women are included in the decision-making spaces and inclusion not only in terms of politics, because yes, we need more women representation at the highest level of government, but also in every space, in the workplace, how making sure that we've mainstream gender issues throughout from our planning, our implementation. So it's not viewing this gender thing or say it's just limited to the Ministry of Gender Affairs. It's a systems approach. How are we making sure that when we're developing agricultural policies, we know most of our women are employed in agriculture, but then it's subsistence agriculture. How are we making sure we're making investments for these women to scale up across the entire value chain so these advantages can be more profitable? How are we addressing issues around property rights? Women don't own land in certain areas, and these lands are what sometimes they need to access finance to grow their businesses. How are we addressing those? How are we addressing networking? Because sometimes in specific societies, women are not allowed to go out on their own. How can they travel to build business network if you're not allowed to even own a mobile phone as a woman? So there are a lot of things that in my work with women and girls that I always try to bring to the front and help change mindsets and bring a different perspective to the conversation. So when we're talking about working with women and girls and involving them in economic development, it's with a holistic and systems approach from the design, planning, resource allocation, communication, because sometimes we need to be intentional on how we engage women, especially in traditional areas. Because we cannot say, yes, the world is progressing and societies are progressing, but we still have customs and traditions that are holding the participation of women and girls back. So how do we engage the men to be allies in this journey so that they can understand that that woman that can produce or play so many roles in the home and manage world resources can do that even at a bigger scale if they are empowered and given the space and supported.
So in my work with women and girls, I'm really keen on bringing more people along in terms of education and entrepreneurship. So in my business, I employ a lot of women, work with female distributors. In my Vegan Foundation, I do a lot of workshops and work with girls. And even in my engagements, whenever I'm called to give talks, I try to put the message out there that women's issues is not a siloed issue. It should be mainstreamed into everything that affects our daily lives.
The African Passport, inspired by Agenda 2063.
Africa, this is Pule Mulebatsi, the host for the Albinism Report. Remember to tune into the show every Monday morning at 9:05 to 9:45 a.m. and again in the evening at 11:15 to 11 p.m. The Albinism Report, an enlightened narrative.
You are listening to the African Passport.
For those who are just tuning in, we are in conversation with Dr. Yakama Menti Jones, who is the founder of Yak Jones Foundation. What are some of your outstanding projects as a foundation?
Okay, thank you. So the Yak Jones Foundation, I founded about 6 years ago to bring the reading culture back to Sierra Leone. Because I know reading is the foundation for all learning. And when I say all learning, it means all learning. If you want to do STEM, or you want to do French, you want to do science, you need to know how to read. So reading is the foundation for all learning. And we've often said there's a lot of evidence that education is among the greatest investments that you can make in an individual to contribute to increase their chances of being productive in the future. So I founded the Yak Jones Foundation to just complement the efforts of government and other partners to drive the provision of education forward. So our vision is to create a generation of avid leaders empowered to be more critical and independent thinkers. So when I say critical, it's not just, oh, because some politician says this or some leader says this, I should just follow it. You should be able to think critically to say, is this aligned with my values? Is this aligned with the vision I want or the future I want for myself or for my children? And also to become independent thinkers, because you also need to be creative to contribute to whatever is going on in society. So as a role, as in long term, I want to see a Sierra Leone or when we go international, a nation, just people with increased potential to develop the productivity of the future world. Currently, the Yak Jones Foundation, we do this in four main ways. We increase access to books, so get people to donate use books or money to us to buy books, and these books we donate to needy schools through book chefs, or we establish mobile libraries. We also support learning to further build the culture of reading, so we establish reading squads or book clubs. And we do reading coaching in public schools. And we also train teachers on how to teach children how to read. Because there's a difference. So learning spelling by heart and knowing your phonics. So when you say a word that you don't know by heart, you'll be able to pronounce it. Are two different skill sets. And so we move towards teaching the children how to read and just identifying sign words or learning spellings by heart. And then we also do a lot of awareness raising around the importance of reading and literacy. So we do reading and comprehension and quiz competitions. We do motivational talks, and we also amplify the importance of reading on notable days. So when we have like World Book Day or World Read Aloud Day, World Education Day, we do a lot of engagements on social media and in communities and get notable people to add their voices to the importance of reading. And the first thing we do is collaboration, because no one person can do everything by ourselves. We need funding. We need to plug it into the efforts of other partners. So like we work with the National Spelling Bee, we work with the Library Board, we work with the Ministry of Basic and Senior and Secondary Education to roll out some of these interventions. And our long-term goal is to establish as many libraries as possible across the country, and also to start developing our own content on how to teach reading using hybrid technologies, so paper, workbooks and a reading program on the radio, and also when, as we expand on access to mobile phones and connectivity in the country, rolling out apps and websites so that people can use to teach children how to read. And of course, investing in humans, teaching more people on how to read. Because now our reading coaches, I work with young students, so people, students that have taken their senior secondary school exams or are also in university are trained to be reading coaches. So we seek to expand that network of reading coaches. So this is what I do with the Yap Jones Foundation.
The African Passport with Mr. G.
And finally, in 60 seconds, Dr. Yakama Minty-Jones, what kind of Africa would you like to see in future?
Okay. So first of all, I want to see an Africa that is a leader. An Africa where more women are empowered to become leaders. An Africa that our economies are so transformed that other countries come to us to ask how we've done it. Because we already have the demographic dividend that we can leverage. We have the youth who just need to invest in their education, their health, create systems and freedoms for them to participate in decision making. And then, of course, once we transform our economic growth, we continue to be innovative, we maintain peace, fairness, and good governance, because a lot of our states are fragile states, and that will count against our development. Once we do that, I think we'll be in a place where every citizen will be equipped to reach its fullest potential. So once we do that with the lens of not leaving anyone behind, with private sector development, human capital development, good governance, and gender equity, I think I would see, and I hope it will happen in my lifetime, an Africa that is the leader and not a sleeping giant.
Yes. That's what we all strive for. Our time is very jealous, but let me promise that I'll definitely invite you again on the African Passport so that we can get to talk about your involvement in programs such as the Amude.
We can just tell you just briefly about that. So I'm an Amude leader with the Ellen Johnson Sirleaf Presidential Center for Women and Development on the 2021 cohort. And Amude means going up. So the center is working to see how they can inspire the women to take up roles in highest levels of public leadership. And public leadership is not limited to political leadership. You can be a politician, a civil servant, an entrepreneur, a doctor, an educationist, or gender activist. So through this program, we are coached and mentored and allowed to learn and grow, to take up spaces in leadership roles in all these spaces with the specific additional intention of bringing other women along. That's how I'm collective. So the more women we have in decision-making spaces and leadership roles, that's the more we can transform all these spaces to make sure we fully leverage the value addition of women and girls. So that's what we do as an Amude leader with the Ellen Johnson Sirleaf Center.
The African Passport on Channel Africa, inspired by Agenda 2063, comes to you every Thursday from 8:05 to 9:00 a.m. Central African Time, and repeat shows every Sunday at 9:00 a.m. Join us as we design the Africa world with me, your host, Godfrey, Mr. G. Maranire, here on Channel Africa, the African Perspective.
Thank you very much, Dr. Yakama Minty-Jones. Today we are grateful because an African daughter of the soil has been generous to share not just her amazing story on the African Passport, but also pills of wisdom for the whole world to benefit. Thank you so much for being selfless in a continent that is normally paraded as selfish and full of leaders who believe in self-enrichment. Our listeners throughout the African continent salute you as an established economist, successful entrepreneur, and generous philanthropist. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Godfrey, for having me. Thank you, African Passport, and thank you, listeners, for listening.
Great stuff. Asante sana.
Thank you.